of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other mouth I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Could we stand and sing number 32? What? On this meeting. Our blessed God and our loving Father, we thank Thee that favorite of the children on the back page, number 40. Number 40, just the first and second verses, and of course the chorus. And for those of you children who know the actions, I'd love to see them from up here. I'll see if I can do them with you for the chorus. Two verses only, number 40.
Yeah. That's what we're going to read tonight, because I have the opinion of at least 12 young people that I interviewed before this meeting. I've only done this once before, but I asked them point blank, do you think there is someone in this room that still doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? And the answer was probably. Probably. Now, I asked these young people to do something because I believe that the young people and children have power in their prayers. And I've asked them to pray tonight, that I'm only the mouthpiece, but it's the power in prayer that can bring that lost soul to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Can we turn together to the Gospel of John, please? The Gospel of John, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, we're going to read about a man who was blind. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, Is not this he that was a beggar? Or he that sat and begged? Someone said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And as it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth we know not, or who hath opened his eyes we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Friends, here this evening we have a story of a blind man and of Jesus as the principal characters. And you know, I am wondering whether there's anyone in this room who will admit that they're blind, because that's a good thing. If you're not the Lord, if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't accepted him as Savior, you need to accept him today. I was noticing as I was reading this chapter some time ago that there are about 17 questions that were asked. You know, that's very interesting. I have a grandson. I have several grandsons who ask a lot of questions. The other day, one of my grandsons was sitting with me in the car, and as we're driving along, there was a large semi-trailer loaded with cars that had been squished to about 36 inches. And there were about 45 cars on the back of this trailer. And I said, look at that. All these cars squished to about 3 feet. And he said, why? Well, they put them all together so they can get more of a truck. Why? Well, so that they can transport them more cheaply. Well, why? Well, so that they can take more cars to the refinery. Well, why? Well, so that they can melt down the cars and make some more cars. But why? You better go and ask your mom the next question. Oh, that would never have ended. There were an endless number of questions from this young fellow and from all of my grandchildren. 16 of them. They have lots of questions. A lot more questions that I can answer or even have the patience to listen to. But we better listen to the questions and the answers that we have here. Jesus and this blind man. And the disciples asked him a question. They said, Who has sinned? This young man or his parents? What they were really saying, was it because of their sins that he was blind? We find in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, twice it is mentioned, Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Could there be someone in this room that has not accepted Jesus as Savior yet? Is there someone here tonight who has heard that gospel message many times? As I look across the sea of faces here, I think everyone here, pretty close, were here today and possibly most of you yesterday. But you know, that doesn't tell me whether you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a little story. There was a young man by the name of Jack. Jack was in our little gathering, and Jack was breaking bread with us. What do we mean by breaking bread? Well, the Bible teaches us that those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ can remember him in a very special way, which we want to do in this room tomorrow morning. Well, this young man had seen this, we thought, and he was breaking bread with us. Then we discovered a few years later that he confessed that he wasn't even saved. You say, that's not possible. I saw it happen. And you young people sitting here, I don't know about your condition. You may be partaking of a broken loaf and a poured out cup, and you may not be saved. Have you ever accepted Jesus as Savior? Have you recognized that you're blind, that you need someone to open your eyes? If you haven't, time is running out. Time is running out. We hear that expression 9/11. Time ran out for a lot of people. And there's a lot of hurts in this country and in our country in Canada and in countries around the world. How about we say 7/6? Today is July 6th. How about making that a special day, a day more important than 9 and 11? I don't want to take away from the seriousness of that day, but you know something? You could be transferred from life to death. You could have your eyes opened. The question was, who sinned? Well, Jesus' answers were always good. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The night is coming, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. You say, coming? What does that mean? You heard that expression many times. There was one thing that happened in the book of Genesis that changed man's path. A very simple thing. God told Adam and Eve, I've got a tree in this garden of Eden, and I don't want you to eat from it. That's all he told them not to do. What did they do? They saw it. They liked it. And Eve took of the fruit, she ate it, and she gave to her husband, and he ate too. Big deal, you say. Big deal. I'll tell you what the big deal is. It's so big that your life depends on it. They sinned against God. God said it was so serious that he had to remove them from the Garden of Eden. They could no longer enjoy the Garden of Eden. They could no longer walk with God in the cool of the day. And God wanted that companionship. He wants your companionship. He loves you. The creator of this world loves you so much that he sent his son on Calvary's cross to die. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever perish, whoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that you have everlasting life? You say, well, how can you know? Let's turn to the first epistle of John. I think there's a verse there that will tell us that we can know that we have eternal life. Let's see, in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know this today, my friend. You don't have to guess at it. There's no fine print. God's word is very clear. If you have not repented and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that offers salvation that he's given to you, you're lost. You're lost. He wants you, my friend. He wants you because he loves you. But he said, but you say, I've done so many bad things. That's not the point. Come with your bad things. Come with your sins. Come with your bad habits. Bring them to the Lord Jesus. He wants you to come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This man, he didn't know what had happened when the Lord Jesus Christ spit and he mixed some clay and he put it on his eyes, the very thing that would burn your eyes. The Lord Jesus took that, his precious spittle of the Lord Jesus, and he put it on his eyes. The very thing that would take your sight away restored sight to this man. I don't know whether you've experienced it, but I can remember many years on the farm when I was just a lad, we were digging a well, and there was some lime or loam, very acid in nature, and some of it splashed in my eyes. And I can remember how it would sting. Well, he took clay and he put it on his eyes. Well, you know, if you were asked to ask a doctor today about that, he'd say, no, I don't believe in that. Well, that's all right. I do. The Bible tells us that that's what Jesus used. And in verse 10, we have a third question. Verse 10. How were thine eyes open? How were your eyes open, my dear Christian friend? I've heard of some of you who've had their eyes open. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to have your eyes open. I heard of the story of a man, a very tall man who was a ball player for the New England Patriots. One day he came to Des Moines, Iowa, and he went to a recreational vehicle center. He just happened to drive in this great big black Cadillac, and he said to the manager there, he said, I would like to know who this man is whose name is on this little tract. And he said, well, I know that man. He's the brother to the fellow that owns this business. But he's out of town, and so is his brother. Well, said this man, it was after ball game in New York City, and I went to the bathroom, and he said, as I was in the bathroom, I found this tract. And he said, I read it, and I'm saved. The Lord saved me. I saw this man's name, and I want to see this man because I want to thank him. I want to thank him. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved. This man knew what it meant to be saved. This man who had tasted of all the wickedness, of all the evil that's so prominent in the sports world. He came to know Jesus as Savior, and he wanted to thank this man. Well, don't stop giving out tracts, young people. Don't stop giving out tracts, adults. The Lord Jesus Christ can speak through those tracts. Then in verse 12, we have another question. I think it's the fourth one. Verse 12. Then said they unto him, where is he? Well, you know, that's a question that many people ask. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. So where's heaven? Don't try to answer those kind of questions where they're trying to do what my little grandson was doing. But why? But why? But why? You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. He has said it, and it is true. This young man, he said, I don't know. I don't know where he is. He didn't know very much. And my friend, dear young people, children, you don't have to know very much. You don't have to know very much. You don't have to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Most of us in this room don't know very much about the Bible. But I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, who had to come into this world because sin was in this world. The man fell in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus Christ was born approximately 4,000 years later. And he was the Lamb of God. He was the only perfect one. He was the one that could take away the sin of the world. And now he's asking you to call upon him. A number of years ago, and I believe Don and Grace wrote it up in the Messages of Love, many years ago, a friend of ours that we knew very well by the name of Dennis was working on the farm harvesting in fall. It was a windy day, and he was driving the tractor, and he stopped the tractor, kept the power takeoff going, went to the back to move the grain around in the bin, and he bent over, and the wind caught his jacket, and the jacket flipped over his head and got caught in the power in the auger. And Dennis is a very strong fellow, and he hung on like this, and like this, as the tractor engine didn't even slow down, and pulled him towards his power takeoff, closer and closer, and ripped every piece of clothing that he had on him to shreds, but he didn't let go. And he was bruised, and he was tattered, and he was bleeding, and he made his way back to the cab of the tractor. His father, Calvin, had just returned to the granary to unload a truckload of grain. And Dennis was able to turn on the CD, or the, I think the CB, is that what you call it? Anyway, the radio. And all he could say was, Dad! That's all he could say. Dad. Fortunately, Calvin had his radio on, and he knew something was wrong. And he went out to where Dennis was, and he saw his son bleeding. Bleeding. He picked him up, put him in the car, and took him to the hospital. Well, Dennis is alive today. He called dad. What if his dad said, oh, he's just kidding. Not serious. No. He didn't do that. He heard the urgency in that plea, that cry. My friend, will you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? If you call upon him, he will listen. He will hear you. He will come. He has paid the price. He has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 15. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. The gospel message has gone forth many times over the past 2,000 years. And you, my friend, have probably heard the gospel message before. These Pharisees had heard this young man testify. They asked again. They asked again. Let's read it again. How he had received his sight. There's only one way that I was saved. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me. I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. Does that make me perfect? Far from it. I'll tell you how perfect I am. I was a young lad. I was saved. Enjoyed the Lord. One night, a buddy of mine, who was also Christian, he and I were walking down a country road, came into the village where we lived, and there was maybe 30 people living off the side of this road. And there was one house that was just being constructed, and these people weren't too well off. And so some of the boys slept up in the loft of this unfinished house. And the only way they could get up was to put a ladder up on the side of this house. Well, you know how young guys are. He thought, hey, we're going to get Roy. Let's go and take that ladder down. We took that ladder down, and we sneaked away and hid it in the ditch, and away we went home laughing and chuckling. I went home, I went to bed, couldn't sleep. You know what was going through my mind? Roy lying on the ground dead. That's what was going through my mind. This man is going to go to the edge of that, and he's going to step out and forget that he should have looked for the ladder. And he's going to die. I turned over, oh, nonsense, Norm. Don't worry about silly things. You've had fun. So I turned on the other side. And I saw Roy again. You know what I did? I got up. And I ran down that road all by myself. I picked up that ladder. I went over to that house and I put up that ladder. Quietly sneaked away back to my house. Into my bedroom, and I went into a sweet sleep. Tell you something, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I knew that what I had done was not something that the Lord would approve. And so I'm not talking about perfection. I'm telling you that we are still in this world. There's a lot of temptation, but the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that will never change. I am secure forever. Wonderful thing. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves, there is no falling away. You are saved forever. You'll never be lost. But tonight, if you're not saved, I am warning you, you're on a broad road that's hastening to destruction, to a place that the Bible calls hell. It's a word we don't like it to come off our lips because our ears hear it on the streets, in the schools, I'm sure, and everywhere. The devil has made sure that that word doesn't have the sting that it should have. But you know, I'm saved from that. How about you? How about you? Have you accepted Jesus as Savior? I'm not going to tell you to wait till the end of this meeting. I'm going to tell you that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you accept Him now. Because the Bible clearly tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Young guys, how is it with you? How is it with you? Can you look me in the eye? And more than that, can you look in the eyes of the Lord Jesus and confess Him as your Savior? If you haven't done that, you better do it. There are young people in this room that are praying for you right this minute. Let's look at verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said he's a prophet. See, they're still asking the same question. Don't let the devil who's whispering into your ears, don't let him take that away, the truth of what from the precious word of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't one person in this room, even the youngest person that we hear right now. They're all sinners. All have sinned. And they can't meet the qualifications of God. There were those that said, what must I do? The Lord Jesus gave them an answer. Keep the law. Keep the law. Is that what you're saying? Keep the law? Try it. But I'm going to warn you, it tells us in James that if you offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. There isn't one person in this room that can say that they haven't sinned. We've all sinned, and so we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 19. And they asked him, saying, they're asking the parents now, same questions. Who said these grandchildren of mine were so dumb? These guys were well educated. These were the religious guys. Verse 19, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he see? Well, I guess those are legitimate questions. Sounds to me a little bit like a courtroom. What's your name? How long have you been here? What's your address? What did you do? What did you have for breakfast? What are you going to have for supper? Silly questions. And they asked these parents silly questions, and they were scared because they couldn't give them a straight answer. My friend, don't rely on the outsiders. Don't even rely on your mom and dad in that connection, because they can't do it for you. You're sitting in your seat, and you're an individual, and you have to give account to the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. Mom can't do it for you. Dad can't do it for you. Mom and dad may stick up for you when you do something in school, whether they should or not. I'm not debating that. But I'm saying to you, my friend, that when it comes to whether you're saved or lost, you are on your own. No one else can do it for you. I'm scared. You say, I'm scared. I'll tell you something about scared. Last summer, I was over at my son's place. He's got some domestic ducks. And they're interesting. Whenever I go out there, they come quack, quack, quacking up to us and follow us around all over wanting food. So I went into his barn, and I got some food, and they followed me in, and we're eating it. And they got their heads into the feed bag, and all of a sudden, all of them came rushing out, and the one in the back had caught the feed bag around his neck. And they heard the flapping in the back, and they thought something was scaring them. All of them flying about 2 feet off the ground and hit the pond, and the fellow in the back hit last, and the bag was dragging in the water. My wife says, what are we going to do? He's going to drown. He's going to drown. And the bag was dragging him, and he was trying to swim away. And I said, well, I can't get him. I can't say, ducky, I'll help you. Why? Because I'm not a duck. I can't talk like a duck. I can't think like a duck. I can't make him understand. He didn't drown. The string tore, but he never came back in the barn again. He was scared. Have you been scared by something recently? Maybe you've heard of an accident. Maybe you almost failed an exam. Maybe you went out with a young fellow or a young girl that's not the Lord's. All kinds of things.
Did you get a scare? Something happened? Oh, bring it to the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what's the guarantee? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Let's move on. Verse 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? You say, well, how many times are you going to ask this question? All right, fair enough. I'm going to ask you a question. How many times are you going to sit in a gospel meeting and walk out the door and say no to Jesus? How many times are you going to do that? I ask all of you, whether it be a young person, a teenager, and even an adult. It's possible that there are some sitting here who we think are Christians and have never confessed the Lord. Young people, if you've never confessed the Lord, would you do it? Tell somebody that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, you know, this young man had a wonderful answer. He said, you want me to tell you again? I've already told you. Do you want to be his disciples too? What a good question. Would you like to be a follower of the Lord Jesus? Well, you might say, does that mean that everything will go well with me in school and I'll get the boyfriend or girlfriend I want, or I'll have spending money and all these kind of things? No. No. I don't guarantee that. The Bible doesn't guarantee that. But I will tell you one thing. The Lord Jesus is going to be with you, and he will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will give you that which you need. No more, no less. And that may not be a pleasant life. You know why that is? Because the wages of sin is death. Everyone in this room has the sentence of death on them. And the time may come if the Lord Jesus doesn't come, that we may die, there may be a funeral, and we might go, and we trust that everyone in this room will go to be with the Lord Jesus. In the last number of weeks, we've had quite a few that we know, even young people, who died. The devil had gotten a hold in some cases of them, and they died. Oh, what a sad thing it is when someone passes into eternity, and yet, in many cases, it's a wonderful thing. There's a story in the Bible of Lazarus who died. He was a friend of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus went to the grave, and he knew what he was going to do. And it tells us, somebody read it the other day, Jesus wept. Oh, my friend, we have a right to weep for those that have gone. Those that we love so much, my mother and my father, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and my little brother, and others who've gone to be with the Lord, sure we weep. But you know something? We don't sorrow, as we read in Corinthians, I believe it is, we don't sorrow the way other people sorrow. And Philippians tells us that they're with Christ, which is much better. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing to get hold of that. To know that you, if you should die tonight, will enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the situation with me. That's the situation with a lot of people that I see sitting here in front of me. To go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to hear it again? That was the question of this young man. They reviled him. Is it possible that there's somebody in this room right now who is reviling me, and that doesn't matter, but is reviling the Word of God? That's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Not me. That doesn't matter. But the Word of God. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. 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 I talked to some of my Christian friends that I've known for many years, and I find their language has changed. They're starting to talk differently. They talk about God. You say, well, isn't that good? Yeah. But they used to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. They change some of the words around, and they're scared. Oh, take the Word of God exactly the way it is. And some of you may say, maybe you young people, I'll look you straight in the eye and say, well, I can't understand this King James Version. That is nonsense. You can't understand it. Those words are simple. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't read another translation, but what I am saying, it's the Word of God that's tried and true and tested, and you can read it, and you can be saved tonight. You read books in university and college and high school and kindergarten that are tougher than these. What's so tough about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're lost tonight, you're in a very precarious, dangerous position. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. On the authority of God's Word, it says, the Lord Jesus, before He left, He said to His disciples, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But there's a condition attached to that. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I'm bad. Can you say that, boy, even the youngest, girls? Are you bad? You know you're bad. You're a sinner. God says you're a sinner. There's no room in hell for a sinner that does not have his blood, his sins washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's just a small thing. It's so quick. Would you accept Jesus as your Savior? Would you recognize that you're lost? You know, my father-in-law was a great storyteller, Tom Deere. And I plagiarize because I use his stories and I use them often, and I'm going to tell you a story that some of you may have heard. Many years ago, when airplanes were fairly new in the countryside, there was a fellow that was up in the air, and he forgot that you need fuel to fly. And he ran out of fuel. So he glided his little cub, I think it was, to the ground, out in the country in the west, in Saskatchewan. And he landed safely, and he looked around, and all he saw was horizon, nothing else. Well, now what am I going to do? And he pondered it for a little while, and all of a sudden he saw a young fella, maybe 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age, come running at top speed. Never seen an airplane before. Can you imagine that? Never seen an airplane before. This was many years ago. And he walked up, and he looked at his airplane, and he looked at the man. The pilot says, son, do you know where I can get some gasoline? Nope. Where do you live? There. Could you get some gasoline for me? Nope. He asked him several more questions. This young fellow had only one syllable word in his answers. No, yes, nope. I don't know. So finally the pilot said to him, you don't know very much, do you? And he gave a classic answer. I ain't lost. I ain't lost. Bad grammar, but an exceptionally good answer. I want to know whether each one in this room can say, I ain't lost. It's the pilot that was lost, not this young lad. He saw the predicament. Let's go down. We're not covering this in much detail, but let's go to verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Well, now we're getting somewhere. Finally, these fellows had a they had a grip on the gospel message. You're lost. You're a sinner. Right. One for them. Right. Thou wast altogether born in sins. Oh, but are you going to teach us? Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. We're pretty good. I was at a funeral a couple of years ago. A distant relative of ours. And the funeral was held in a large, large church. And he's sitting there looking at all these things on. And then I saw a man come in, walking like this, with a robe. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm mocking. Maybe I'm a bit. And he had a collar, something like this. And he did something beautiful. He read the Bible. He read the Bible. The exact Word of God. He even read it in the King James Version, if you can believe that. Oh, the words he read were beautiful. That's as far as it went. After the service, I thought, well, I got to go and talk to this man. So I walked up to him and I said, sir, I really enjoyed those beautiful Bible verses you read. What do you suppose he did? I'll never forget it as long as I lived. He turned his back, put his nose up another 6 inches, and walked away from me. It's a dangerous thing to hold this book, to read this book to others, and to reject it yourself. It's a dangerous thing to come to a conference here in Cuyahoga Falls, to hear the gospel message, and to reject it. And if you're doing that tonight, you're in deep trouble. You're in very deep trouble. You know, I'm so happy to be able to say that my 10 children, I got 5, but they're all married, so this means 10 children, all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now what makes me so happy is that some of my grandchildren, the older ones, have accepted Jesus as Savior. And they did it in such a simple way. The Bible tells us, except we become as little children, we can't enter. These children say, I want Jesus to come into my heart. Say, well, they don't know what they're saying. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. They do. And you know, you as an adult, as a young person, you must come the same way. Young people, are you praying? The ones I talk to, are you praying for someone here that's lost? We need to pray for those that are lost, because this may be the last gospel meeting that you'll be attending. And if you're not saved, you're lost. This man, these people said to him, you going to teach us? You going to teach us? I got my DD. 3 times over. You going to teach us? You know, they couldn't meet his argument. They couldn't meet what he was saying. So they tossed him out. They tossed him out. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? The temple was finished. All these religious people had done everything they could, and now he wanted the Lord. He called him Lord. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Have you seen the Lord Jesus tonight? What are you going to do about it? You don't have to answer to me, but I would certainly counsel you to make a decision for Christ tonight. Story that comes to mind, another one that my father-in-law told, of a young boy sitting in a gospel meeting who didn't want to listen to the gospel, so he looked up at the chandeliers and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven. Oh, one's out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. One's out. Count, folks. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. One's out.
Father's in. Mother's in. John is in. Mary is in. Bill is in. Susie's in. Dorothy's in.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
And I'm still out.
Four chandeliers, eight lights, one out. Are you that one that's out? This building is going to be destroyed in a couple of days. And all those lights are going to go out.
This world is going to be destroyed in the coming day.
What is it going to be with you? Are you going to hear those words? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity.
I never knew you. Those are solemn words. Won't you come to Jesus just as you are? Simply by saying to the Lord Jesus, as you're sitting in your seat, that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to come. You can accept Him now. Just like my little grandchildren, some of my grandchildren have. Just like so many others in this room have. Have you accepted Jesus as Savior? I plead with you, my friend, if you haven't accepted Jesus as Savior and you go out of these doors tonight, you may never have another chance and never have another opportunity. You know what your condition is. Come to Jesus.